This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, good morning. Welcome to the show. Monday, 4th of March, you're with Julian Ng, Lynn Mark, as well as Sharitz Abdullah. Good morning, guys.
Good morning, Julian.
Good morning, Julian.
How was the weekend?
Pretty all right.
Yeah. Well, restful. You know, caught the bug. The whole family caught the sort of like a bug, yeah.
Oh, no. How's everyone?
Getting there. Okay. But we did manage to catch up with some walk at the park on Sunday morning. That was nice.
That's nice. That's just what the doctor ordered, right?
That's right. That was in the prescription. Very detailed.
Yeah, I spent most of my Sunday at home with Netflix, so yeah.
Great. What were you watching?
I was catching up on my Star Trek Discovery.
Oh,
Star Trek.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Is that the new one? Like a new sort of version of Star Trek? Or I mean, what is that? I mean, that sounds new. Discovery.
I mean, if you're going to ask the question, you're just going to get, scolded by all these Trekkies. I don't know either, but I just refrained from asking that question.
I've got a lot to learn from you, Julian. You have to watch it.
Well, I was in Ipoh, so, nothing but eating.
Ipoh's nice.
That's what you do in Ipoh. Yes, it's very nice, actually.
Yeah, it's like a valley. It's, surrounded by hills and
limestone. And it's kind of like a kept secret, Ipoh. Everyone's going to Penang, but nobody's going to Ipoh. And that's why they have that huge sign, right? Saying that if you're on your way to Ipoh, to Penang, just detour into Ipoh. That's what the sign is for, like a great big sign in Ipoh. Okay, what are we going to talk about today?
A rose by any other name, would it smell as sweet? So we're going to be talking about the effect that names have on our lives. So would you rather have a common name or a unique one?
Interesting.
So don't hit me for being lame. They say leaders are readers. Apparently. I said don't hit me. Government is...
First you asked the Star Trek question and now this.
I feel bad for myself. Government is trying to get us to read more, don't they? I mean, we are not doing so well in the reading department, but in the bus. So we discuss about that.
Okay, great. And coming up next is Boredom for Kids. Is that something to get excited about? And we're going to take a break now. And when we come back, we're talking about kids and boredom. And here's John Mayer, New Light. BFM 89.9, Brian Adams there with Summer of 69. You're listening to The Morning Run and I'm Julian together with Lynn Mark and Sharitz Abdullah. Now, if you have anything to say to us, and we hope you do, WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. We'd love to hear from you. Here's an article from CBS8.com, Speech Language Pathologist Joy Brewster says, I think it's extremely healthy to be bored, Brewster said. It makes kids more creative. This is really going against the grain of today, parents arm toddlers and kids with a device.
Yeah, absolutely. But I think there needs to be a balance, when it comes to children and their time off from, activities, boredom. Maybe just certain hours of the day, for that gives them that space and room for them to figure out something to do, build up their creativity. And
this is with or without device?
Without. Just completely without device. There's nothing. There's no intervention from parents, nothing.
Really?
It's true. Nowadays, you see children... Even on their off days when they're not at school, they are going to sports classes. They are going to language classes. They are going to organized play dates. Kids don't really have time to just.
They don't.
They're
so busy. I think when I look at the schedule of a lot of kids, they're busier than me.
Absolutely. Yeah. I don't do a tenth of what these kids are doing.
Yeah, but the thing is, they say, kids' brain is at the developmental stage. They're like sponge, and this is the time when you take advantage and just try to fill up as much as you can. Because, look, for an example, language, they always say that, the best time to learn a language is when you are a child, right? Mm-hmm. And, how best to fill up those free times by introducing, things that they could learn, one of them being language or being sports or whatever.
Yep. Lin-Manuel Miranda, you might not have heard of her, but you probably might have heard of the musical Hamilton. She wrote that. And she says there's nothing better to spur creativity than a blank page or an empty bedroom.
Yeah, I used to spend a lot of time. So I didn't, my parents didn't really subscribe to the fill every waking hour of your day with activities strategy. So I spent a lot of time imagining and reading, and I think I came out better for it in the end.
Okay, yeah. That's good. That's good. We still have hope. Did you write anything? Did you jot down your thoughts, journalize your thoughts? And can we look forward to a book or something?
I will never say never, Julian. But I don't think anyone really needs to see my writing but me.
Now that Lynn mentioned that, when I was a kid, I used to imagine that a train could float via magnet. You know how they're doing that now? And I thought,
wow,
you're the missed opportunity.
You conceptualized the maglev.
Levitation. All that was missing was just some figure and some plus minus some algebra, algebra.
A little bit of physics.
But the idea of a floating train was there when I was. I still remember.
That is
for some
amazing.
Reason, I hate to burst
your bubble on this, but I think the maglev came out before you were born. The idea of it came out. You could have been the next Elon Musk or something who thought of the Hyperloop, right?
I feel so much better about myself now.
It's okay. I think you had some fun thinking about it. But also, I think I read recent articles over the last few years that if you give a device to children, and I know a lot of parents have got no device policies, right? But if you gave a device, and earlier on you were saying, Sharits, that this is the early stages of a kid's developmental mind psychologically, and you give them a device, their brains actually physically become smaller. And I know a lot of parents like ban devices for kids. Like they have this strict no tolerance policy for no device. What do you think of that as a parent? You're the only parent here in the room right now.
So I'm very clear with the device, but I've downgraded myself from a device to a television, which I still think is a bad thing.
TV? Then,
yeah, TV. So okay. I got annoyed with other parents, giving so loosely, giving devices so loosely that I thought TV was a better option. But if you remember back then, back in our day, when devices was not out, it wasn't.
We just watched TV 24/7.
TV was a bad thing, right? Parents would say reduce TV.
Yes. So it used to be called the idiot box.
Idiot box.
It's not so idiotic anymore because you got a lot of very good documentaries on that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, so that's that thing, right? So it's just a matter of whether you're going to condone them, you're going to be okay with them learning ABCs via the TV. But again, the idea is, that lull time, that boredom time that we had as a kid, and that spurs creativity. But I think the pressure with parents these days is that introducing them to activities is mainly for the parents themselves because they want their free time.
Exactly. They want to eat their dinners in peace and to socialize in peace, and therefore it's not really about the kids. I'm not one to pontificate here because I'm not a parent, but we cannot judge. No judgments here, right? But I'm sure that's what the parents are thinking about.
Yeah. Well, that's the ultimate.
Okay.
Truth,
what about for adults, right? Should we get bored? Because we are guilty of it too. We are constantly touching our phones, our devices. Should we allow ourselves time to get bored?
I think so. I mean, there's nothing wrong with essentially putting your phone away and trying to fill that time with other things.
What can we do to get to give ourselves that time to free our minds? For example, during a drive, to commute to work, I'm sure it's a very normal practice to listen to something, right?
What about the morning run?
Of course, right? Listen to BFM, but what about switching off your radio or switching off the podcast?
Yeah, you need a good couch for that, number one.
Not while you're driving.
Well, at home at least, have a good couch. Sun's not too warm out, weather's not too warm out there. Yeah, possible.
Okay. Tell us what you think. Should you or your kids get bored? WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio. And we're going to take a break now. In the meantime, here is another one, Bites the Dust by Queen. BFM 89.9, Queen there with Another One Bites the Dust. You're with Julian, Lynn and Sharits Abdullah. Now, we're talking about the psychological effects of growing up with an extremely common name. That's an article from the Quartz. Between the 1880s and the 2000s, the name Sarah was one of the most popular in America. About 10,000 births per million in America were named Sarah. And since the 2000s, Sarah has fallen off a cliff in terms of popularity to be replaced by Madison. And even Madison's high in 2000 was just half of Sarah's popularity in the 80s. So the question is whether there is a psychological effect in a common name and does it make you fit in better with your peers and in society as a whole?
Well, this brings me back to my school days when a lot of people mispronounced my name. And
Yes,
and they were mean about it.
You have an unusual name, Sharit.
Yep.
What's the history of that
name?
So
it was either Sins and Son.
Because your other name is Sean, right?
That's right. Yeah. So you can imagine, how it was mistranslated in a Malay military school. And in military school, people can be quite mean about it. So it was unnecessary anger.
Okay.
Yeah, growing up with an unusual name.
Yeah, so I saw both sides of this common versus unique, right? Because Lynn is quite a common name.
Yes.
I mean, here in BFM, we have Lynn, Lynn on the evening edition, who is not me.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure a lot of people get us confused. But my full name is just, I only have two names, which is very unusual for a Chinese person. So I would always get the question from every teacher I ever had in school, why is your name like this? And it just got really irritating after a while. So I didn't like that. So I would much, in that sense, I would much rather have kind of had a slightly more common name.
Okay. I knew quite a number of two named people. So I didn't find that unusual as well. And my name, it's when I was growing up, it was just extremely uncommon and it was just mispronounced all the time. I got like Durian, for example,
Oof.
You know, like as a nickname, among other nicknames. I found that, it was kind of very unique, but I did not think that I was unique in any way. But what this article is saying is that in the past, it was all about fitting in, right? It was all about fitting in. And today, it's all about standing out.
Yep. And I still think that matters. I think giving a name that your kid can appreciate, that you can appreciate, most importantly, I think, is necessary.
Don't give them weird names.
No, but not weird names, though. I mean, some really, names that they would... That has meaning, that resonates with them, that could... that they can be proud of. I think that was my basis of giving names when I was naming my kids, at least.
I think there's a fine line to walk, though, between giving your child a unique name and giving them a name that they could be teased for, because children, children are mean. Just like you said, you got called Durian on the playground, right?
I didn't mind that. I didn't mind Durian. I just minded more of the other nicknames I got. Like, let's not go into that. Let's not go there. what do you think of, some of these very unusual names today? I don't know. I just off the top of my head, I can't tell, right? Like, I don't like Ashley and Spencer's, some of these names that my friends have given their newborns recently.
Oh, here in Malaysia.
Yeah, here in Malaysia, I think there is a trend that's moving towards that. And if we just went with what the article is saying, do you think it actually raises consciousness about yourself and your relationship with your surroundings and the rest of the world, your name?
Well, I think it does.
Has it ever crossed your mind, like, I'm just one with the world, because I'm a normal person. I'm Lynn. I'm a normal person.
I think I've felt like a sense of kinship with other Lynns,
because
when someone comes into the office and yells Lynn, all of us turn around and we all have that moment of, oh yeah, okay, she's not talking to me. So. So in that sense, I guess it does. You do have that connection. Whether that works on the flip side, whether having a unique name makes you more aware, I don't really know. I don't know what I think about that, really.
Well, I connection with nowadays, with the world being a bit more global and people travel more often, I think a name that's slightly more global, a bit more neutral, not too national centric, is one of the things that I would consider. I don't know if you guys would. So these days, I think we're just going beyond. It's no longer just the typical everyday Malay name. But let's not forget that people do get too creative about their names, which sometimes doesn't do any favor for their kids. For example, Kim Kardashian and Kanye West.
I know, right?
Yeah. So you're gonna, Chicago.
Nobody is going to... Hey, that's Malaysia. Malaysia is a name for kids in America as well. I think there are some people who name their kids Malaysia. God forbid, let's hope they don't name them Kuala Lumpur or Ipoh or something. Anyway, tell us what you think, whether you should give your kids ordinary names or something uncommon and unique. And we're coming up to the news, and here's Jungle Boogie by Kool & the Gang, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, Dancing in the Dark by Bruce Springsteen. You're listening to The Morning Run. I'm Julian Ng, and joined by Lynn Mark as well as Sharitz Abdullah. Now, guys, we were earlier talking about the need for boredom to spur creativity and so on. And so happens that in KL, the Go KL buses are now offering free ebooks for you to download, I guess, while taking a ride in their buses. What do you think of this? I mean, is it really to spur bus ridership? And do you think it will be successful in making people do that?
So number one is that Go KL bus, they do provide free Wi-Fi access inside, right?
And it's free as well to ride on it.
And it's free to ride.
So it's like freebies galore.
And it has been for the past, I think, 9 years. I think 9, 8, 7 years. It's not new.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Again, it's the question of how reliable the Wi-Fi is. That's number one. Yeah. Number two is ebooks. And I think it really depends on what time of the day you're traveling, because perhaps in the morning, there's still sparse, there's still enough space for you. You can get quite comfortable. But in the evening, that's when it's jam-packed.
Yeah, I've taken it in the evening, and it was nice. It was nice to share bodily warmth with other passengers. it's free, right? You get out of the MRT, and I got out on Jalan Bukit Bintang, and I just hopped on to get onto Jalan Rajachulan or Jalan Sultan Ismail, and it was great.
Mm. Sounds conducive for reading.
Yeah, yes. And it's quite interesting that this apparently more than 150 book titles are going to be available on the buses. And I am a little bit curious as to what those book titles are going to be and who chose them. Because when I think of free ebook libraries, I think of the ones on planes, which are consistently terrible.
Yes.
You never have anything remotely interesting.
The Dan Browns of the world.
I mean, I would say Dan Brown is a little bit interesting.
Seriously? Okay.
Okay, I think we'll have to agree to disagree. Yeah. But ultimately, though, I think this is going to spur a lot of conversation about why are we focusing on this as opposed to improving general public infrastructure. But I do think it is important not to forget to develop our arts and culture along the way. So I think this is quite an interesting idea. I would definitely try it.
I think it's definitely what you say is very important. And it's two different issues, right? Mm-hmm. Because Go KL, while the intention is good, I'm not sure how many people would subscribe to this service because Go KL is all about hop on, hop off, right? I don't know if there is a commute with Go KL because it goes in this circular route, and it's in the city. The commute is very short. It's crowded, but the intention is good.
Yeah, we recognize, I mean, the fact that Malaysians do need to read more, as in, you know, we are listed, apparently, an article that we are the sixth bottom, lowest ranking of readership in the country. I mean, people that read in the country. So that's a set number. So I it's important that government try to sort of promote the culture of reading. But in the bus, I mean, I don't know. Like you said, hop on, hop off. There's very limited time and really about feasibility, whether or not, reading is good. But I think what's more important when it comes to public transport is really trying to get, people to ride on it, to convince people. I think that's the number one challenge right now, and people are still not on public transportation.
Well, according to the Federal Territories Minister Khalid Abdul Samad, he says that this service was provided to celebrate KL being named World Book Capital for 2020 by UNESCO. What is this about? Do we deserve being a World Book Capital? Or is this something that they give on you so that you will become it?
I think it's just to spur that culture, that culture of reading amongst Malaysian. And I think that attention would give media something for them to talk about. And one of them is, in buses, they have TV screens. And I think that's one way to publicize it. That sounds a bit more practical, right? Make it more fun. More fun for you to ride the bus, something to just watch rather than to read, I think is...
That's right. I think we are consuming entertainment in very different ways and even learning in very different ways that people can very easily access their apps for entertainment. And that's where books have a very big competitor. I think the market share of, device-based entertainment is rising vis-a-vis books, right?
Yeah, and actually, so this KL being named World Book Capital 2020, I think our slogan is going to be KL Baca, carrying through reading. It's quite interesting. It's going to focus on four themes. So reading in all its forms, development of book industry infrastructure, inclusiveness and digital accessibility, which I guess this Go KL initiative is going to play towards, as well as the empowerment of children through reading.
Okay, there you go. The empowerment of children through boredom and the empowerment of children through reading. Let us know what you think by tweeting us tweeting us at BFM Radio and WhatsApping us at 0187898899. We'll be coming back with more comments after this. BFM 89.9. This is The Morning Run. You're with Julian, Lin and Sharitz. I think I made a boo-boo with that name story, right? Because I referred to the writer of Hamilton, Lin-Manuel Miranda, as a woman, but he is in fact a man. And this, in fact, proves the point, right? That sometimes there's a lot of confusion in identity when you're, we're talking about the creativity of names, right? Naming children different things these days. So thank you for highlighting that. We've had that from a few listeners. Thanks, Li Shun and Christina, for correcting me on that. Have you guys seen Hamilton?
I have. I watched Hamilton in London.
Oh, how was it?
It was very, very good. Even before I went to actually see it, I was singing the music for about a year straight. So I was very happy. Yeah, it's a really good musical.
See what boredom can do, right?
this was my car commute. I just had Hamilton playing on my radio.
Wonderful.
Brilliant. Well, we do have some tweet coming in, Julian, this morning, and this is with regards to some of the things that we've spoken about. White Lane tweeted to us this morning about kids with boredom, Generation Z, they don't watch mainstream media. So I guess, there's some truth there. Kids are more attracted to devices. Mainstream media, I take it he's trying to say the TV. Just the national TV where everything is programmed and scheduled. Is my understanding correct? What do you guys think?
Yeah, well, I think that it's not only kids, right, but adults as well. They are doing everything that is not mainstream these days because, as the word implies, the internet and all its business models are very disruptive. So there are many options that are open to us today. There is this interesting other one by Leonard. He says there is a Paris Hilton. Why not a KL Hilton, right? As in KL being a name, KAYEL. That's not a bad idea.
Not a bad idea indeed. We've got one tweet also coming in from Born Rebel. Now, this is regards to reading in the bus. So I think it concurred with us, they're saying that, it's just tough to just read in the bus because it's, you're just moving quite a lot. Is this not conducive, isn't it?
I don't know. Yeah, some people can take it. Some people can't because of the motion sickness, right? But I think I'm okay. And the other thing to try out is also audiobooks, right? Which can sync to your to what is called the audiobook. Kindle or the device, right? Mm-hmm. So that's a solution for if you've got motion sickness.
We also have a WhatsApp here from Ro. Ridership. Thanks, Julian. Learned a new word. Aptly one of the joys of reading. All for promoting reading, both as a workout and a source of adventure for the mind. I do like that idea.
Absolutely. It's an adventure. Yep. Thanks so much for your messages and continue to tell us what you think of what we are talking about today. And, you know, this is a news flash, right? Nestle. We all know Nestle and we all know Milo. And Nestle has admitted that Milo is no longer a healthy drink because in Australia, it used to have a 4.5 health star rating after being criticized by experts because the 4.5 health star rating assumes that people consume Milo with only 3 teaspoons combined with skim milk, right? But people don't do that. I mean, what's the fun in drinking Milo if you're just going to have 3 teaspoons full of that? People use 3 tablespoons instead. So
only 3, Julian?
I don't know. I don't drink Milo. So Milo is no longer healthy.
Yeah, so this breaks that whole love affair that you have with Milo when you were a kid.
It's ruined your childhood dream.
That's right. Childhood, I mean, last time when you're sick, that's the first thing, get him some Milo. I mean, that was one of those familiar lines that I grew up with. But I guess it's not the case anymore. Kids... Milo, but growing up, I think Milo is more of a drink, of a comfort drink these days. It's no longer about health. It's just really nice chocolate.
That's right. That's right. Mm.
I think it is important to note here that this is Nestle in Australia, so their formula might be different from ours. So this is not to say that
over here we use 5 tablespoons, right, per glass of Milo
ice.
With
full cream milk as well.
Exactly. With condensed milk.
It's
much healthier here in Malaysia
Milo
than
dinosaur,
in Australia.
That's it. I do think that I don't drink Milo for its health benefits. I think maybe
you drink it for entertainment along with your beer.
It just tastes good, Julian. I know you don't understand because you don't drink Milo.
I don't.
But yeah, I think maybe our grandparents were the ones that subscribed to the Milo is healthy marketing campaign.
That's
yeah.
right. Okay, it's coming up to the 7 a.m. news, and we're coming back with some business news after that. But in the meantime, here's Back in Black by AC/DC, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.